بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I want to thank you for coming here today. I just want to apologize for us coming late. It's actually something that we want to value the time and respect everyone's time. You all organize yourselves and to come here today, and we don't want you to think that we don't respect and we appreciate that. So again, thank you for your patience. But we're going to begin today our first session and on the lessons from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the brothers that put this together, jazakumullahu khairan, is a Tarbiyah of South Florida. A Tarbiyah is a very nice name because it actually means cultivation. And cultivation is what these brothers that put this seminar together are really looking to do for all of us. Cultivation through knowledge and righteous deeds. And with us to help facilitate that part of learning, we ask Allah to help us all to achieve that, is our dear, respected, and beloved brother, Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi, who has come to us by way of Masjid Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia, from the imams there. And he has been giving da'wah in America, throughout the U.S., for some 19 years now. And we're very pleased and privileged, actually, and happy to have him with us. And we make dua for him that Allah preserves him and keeps him firm and is able to relay the message that he has presented to convey. But he's someone that, alhamdulillah, he's known to the major scholars of Islam, the major scholars, the ulama that you find in Mecca and Medina and other places that trust Abu Muhammad and have advised the Muslims in the West, especially, to take from and to learn from and to benefit and to inquire from. So, alhamdulillah, this is a great opportunity for all of us here, for the brothers and the sisters. I hope we spend some time here with our brother and hopefully we'll learn something beneficial. The brothers as well that are in the U.S. from the students of these scholars, like Hassan Somali, like Abul Hassan Malik, like Musa Richardson, like Anwar Wright, and some other students of knowledge that maybe some of you have heard of, maybe some of you haven't. But for those who haven't, these are names that are trusted by our noble scholars that have studied with them. That also I want to assure everyone, alhamdulillah, for this tremendous opportunity. So without further ado, I will pass the mic to our dear beloved brother, Abu Muhammad. We'll begin our first session. And that will go on until Salat al-Duha, bi-idhnillah.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. It is a pleasure to be here amongst my brothers, our family of Muslims here in the South, Florida, in the Miami area, in this day, beautiful day, in this seminar that is facilitated by the Brothers of At-Tarbiyah, as you have heard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for their efforts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them and protect them and keep us and them and the Muslims firm upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him. And we should all thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all time, with our tongues and with our hearts, and by using the favors and the blessing that Allah has given us in a way to get and draw near to Him and closer to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by trying our best to obey Him, to obey His Messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our life should be around the teachings of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His noble book, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah the best example to be followed. But we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His endless bounties. It is not a favor and a blessing we enjoy, except that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says in the Quran. And we read the Quran, alhamdulillah, but we need to read with contemplation, with reflection, and trying our best to understand the meanings and the interpretation of the meanings of the Quran, because the Quran is a guide for us. So He is indeed the best example, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for us. And He is example in everything. When it comes to the way we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as related to our belief, creed, He is the example. When it comes to the acts of worship, how we purify ourselves, how we perform wudu, ghusl, tayammum, masḥ, and all of the matters of purification, then He is the example. When it comes to the acts of worship, primarily the salat and the zakat and the fasting in the month of Ramadan and performing the hajj for those who have the ability to do so, then we have to follow the sunnah of the best of mankind, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the deen of al-Islam is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As one of the great scholars, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, says, min Allahi risala, this message of al-Islam is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not from this country or other, or this person or the other. Min Allahi risala. This message of al-Islam, this upright religion that calls to all that which is good in this life and benefit those who submit to it in this life and in the hereafter, there is no success and no joy, no happiness, and no serenity and peace of mind except in adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. من الله الرسالة وعلى الرسول البلاغ وعلينا الاتباع. This message is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey, and He has indeed conveyed the message sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has indeed conveyed the message in the most perfect way. He didn't die, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until this message is completed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have perfected your religion and completed my favors upon you, and I am pleased with you, Islam as a religion for you. So our noble Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for those amongst us who study the basics of his seerah, not even to go in deep, which we recommend that as Muslims we should learn about the life of this noble man, our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he went through, what happened to him in Mecca, what happened to him in Medina with his people, the struggle, his patience, his forbearance, forgiveness, him pardoning those who harmed him or the Muslims, his way of life at home, at the masjid, as a husband, as a father, as a son-in-law, as a father-in-law, as a friend, as a neighbor, as a teacher, as a imam, as a khatib, as a ruler. We have indeed in the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best example. You want to be from the best servants of Allah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that is legislated by Allah, being upon the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah, what our customs won't put us on that path. Our loyalty to our families, our tribes, is not going to put us on that path. Our money and status and achievements in this life would not put us on that path. What's going to put us on the path and keep us firm on it is adherence to that which came to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In everything we do, in every moment of our lives, the sunnah should shape the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we dress, the way we make decisions, the places we choose to be in, the people we choose to spend time with, and everything we do, the way we educate our children, we talk to them, we raise them, the choices we make for them, the way we establish our families, from choosing the righteous spouse and knowing the rights and the obligations. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. We as Muslims, we have everything to make our lives better, to achieve success, to be joyful, to be happy, to have a life of serenity and peace and tranquility. But all of this can be achieved if we adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how can we adhere to something if we don't know what it is? So therefore, it is very important for us to learn about the seerah and the life of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his akhlaq, in his high morals, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. For indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are on the high standard of morals and conduct. So much so, ya akhwan, you will find we have attestations, shahadat, statements from non-Muslims, known people, historians, renowned writers, politicians, and they, if you read what they said about the Prophet, you'll be amazed. And all of them, they came to this conclusion that this is the best man. That which this man, Muhammad, achieved in that time, when there was no technology, was not no resources that many people have these days, and that which this man has achieved on any level, as a servant of Allah, as a prophet, as a leader, as a friend, as a husband, name it. In his akhlaq, in his manners, his wild life, his modesty, the life, modest life he had, and the change he brought. SubhanAllah, if you read the conditions of the people before he received the revelation, and in a short time, how the people, how peace thrived, love, unity, people they used to fight each other, now they are together. They love one another, care for one another. People that used to be upon polytheism, shirk, disbelief, they were lost in jahiliyyah. Now they have light they can see with, the light of tawheed, the light of sunnah, the light of Islam. You will find those historians and those writers, non-Muslims, they say things, amazing things, and they're not amazing as related to him, because he is the best of mankind. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the best of all prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wa salam, huwa khayrul bashar. But when you look at them, how they came to this conclusion, they says after reading his seerah, subhanallah, non-Muslims. And some of them, they say it after reading his seerah, his biography, examining his life, they says marratin wa marrat. Some of them, they said, they came to this conclusion after reading his biography, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, times and times again. Times, non-Muslims. So much so that some of them, they says, if Muhammad is sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't say sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they believe in him. They say, if this man, Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, the Arabian prophet of Islam, meaning because he was an Arab, they said, if he is amongst us in our times, he will have a solution for all our problems. And that the people will be upon prosperity. We won't have this chaos we have in now, and this greed, and this fighting. He says, the world will be a better world in if he is amongst us. But we believe in that. See, the difference between us and those historians is it is our aqeedah. It is our belief. We have texts from the Quran and from the Sunnah that tells us that he is the best of mankind, that his way is the best way. His guidance is the best guidance. And we are ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to obey him, to follow his example. Because in obeying him, that's what leads to success in this life and in the hereafter. But anyone who follow a path other than the path of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would not be of any benefit from him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah illa man aba." All of my ummah will enter al-jannah except those who refuse. He was asked, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is a very serious statement. Somebody refused the Jannah. We as a human being, we don't refuse even a little bit of money. How can someone refuse the Jannah? How can someone refuse the Jannah? That's why some of the Sahaba, they ask that question. وَمَنْ يَأْبَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Who will refuse the Jannah, O Messenger of Allah? Who will refuse the Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ make it clear. What are the things that lead certain people to refuse the Jannah? Has nothing to do with the colors of their skins. Has nothing to do with the countries they come from, the language they speak. It has to do with one thing. Prophet ﷺ says, "Man ata'ani dakhal al-jannah, wa man asani faqad aba." Whoever obeys me enters al-jannah. Because obeying the Messenger of Allah وسلم, is an obligation, it's not an option. It's not whether we obey him or not. Yeah. We servants of Allah. Allah created us. And Allah fashioned us in the best form, provide us with endless bounties. And he wants one thing from us, to be able to acknowledge that he is the only God worthy of worship. To obey his orders and obey the orders of the Messenger that he has sent to all mankind as a light, as a mercy, as a giver of glad tidings, and as a warning against a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, he who obeys me will enter al-Jannah. So that's how we enter al-Jannah. If we obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we follow his guidance, if we adhere to his sunnah, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. And he who disobeys me has indeed refused the Jannah. Of course, we as a human being, and especially when we live in areas where those who remind us of Allah, of the sunnah, of what we should do and our obligation, they are only a few. And even those few, it's difficult to get a hold of them because themselves, they got things to go here, families to attend to. Then yes, struggle. It is a struggle. But let us keep our eyes on the prize. If you have a goal, if you have a prize, even if it's high on a mountain, you're going to try to find energy again and again and again and again. Why? Because you're looking at the prize. You're looking at the prize. And keep in mind, the higher you climb, the more you're going to find yourself alone. People, in anything that you want to do, people, they hyped and they want, let's do it. And at the first day one, you're going to have maybe hundreds of people on your path. And you're like, subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar, this is beautiful. Day 10, people start dropping down. But then you, are you going to drop with those who drop or are you going to continue? You got to continue. And you don't drop. You'll continue and keep in mind that the greater the hardship, the greater the reward. And once you put your hand on a prize, you will forget all your sufferings, right or wrong. Look at those who run, for example, and they run for a long time. They run for a purpose, for a reason. There is a prize. That's why they run. Some of them, they like, that's it. They can't run anymore, but they find some extra energy. Why? Because it is a prize. The prize is big. As they say, if they win that prize, they're going to change their lives. They don't have to worry again. They don't have to work hard again. Well, likewise, Ikhwan, that prize we're talking about is paradise. Once we're admitted into paradise, that's it. No more hard work, no more worries, no more struggle. It's nothing but joy and comfort and delight that Allah has prepared. But for who? For the muttaqun. For those who adhere to His commands, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and adhere to the commands of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
If you want, I can hold it with my hand. That's okay. Like this. فَعَلَى أَيِّنْ يَخْوَانْ. So, once again, the message is like this, good? The message is from Allah, Islam. And that's what Allah accepts. And the one who conveyed this message is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is incumbent upon all of us is to adhere, is to follow. Aina. That's all Allah wants from us. Allah didn't want us to be creative or to come up with some new ways to make our lives better or to come up with new ways to put ourselves on the path that leads to the Jannah and save ourselves. No. Allah says, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord and do not follow anything else. If someone brings us, قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, with the sound understanding, of course, of the Salaf al-Salih, which are the companions of the Messenger of Allah, because they are the best of the people. Allah chose them. Aynam. Because we know, as a Muslim, we should know that Allah is al-Hakim, al-Alim. Nothing just happened like that. Me and you sitting at this moment, this is from the knowledge of Allah. Allah knows before the creation of the heavens and the earth that me and you, we're going to be sitting here at this moment. Naam. So Allah is al-Hakim. He chose for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best of the people. And the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum, they are indeed the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers. So that's what we do. If we want to learn, if we want to be on the path that leads to the Jannah, the path that guarantees success, joy, happiness in this life, and yet the greatest success in the hereafter It's easy and it's free. And it's clear. There is no ambiguity in it. It's straight, no crookedness. You don't have to go around. It's so clear. It's not dark, no darkness in it. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحَجَّ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلِهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. I have left you on the clear white path. Its nights resemble its days. No one who finds himself on a path, any path other than this one, he will be destroyed. No one wants to be destroyed. No one wants to be amongst the losers. Everybody wants to be on the safe side, him and his family. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody amongst us wants to be with the winner side, those who are winning. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. Even if you play a game, a little game. When Muslim, mashallah, in one day or the other, we go and they play some basketball or some football, they're not in no league whatsoever. It's not a championship. It's just some Muslims, mashallah, they said, hey, let's go play, inshallah, together with Muslims. And still, you don't want to lose. Do you? You don't want to lose. I remember myself, I shared this with my brothers before, and I shared it with you to make a point. I was playing in my living room some years ago. My son, now he's 17, he was maybe 6 or something. This got to be at least 11 years ago or something. And we're playing basketball, where? In the living room. But, you know, I'm sure you know, in Walmart and even in a dollar store, they sell those little rims. You remember, you know them, right? I'm talking about. You can stick it on the door, and the ball is little. You know, how big that ball? Like what? Like a bigger apple or something? Huh? Like a tennis, but yeah, an orange one. Huh? Like a grapefruit. That's it. Here I am sitting on the couch, and I'm playing, me and my son. My wife, she's watching. She's doing what she's doing in the kitchen. And he's my son, and we're playing. And for whatever reason, he was beating me. He was putting some hoops in, you know. And I couldn't take it. I'm the grown-up in my house. I'm not playing for a championship or nothing. I couldn't take it. Because now his mother cheering for him. Yeah, she's cheering for 6 years old or seven. My son. Now I'm supposed to be happy. And I'm supposed to be at that time encouraging him. MashaAllah, you got it. Allahu Akbar, I'm proud. Now, me, a human being, I'm like, you ain't going to get me like that. Nah. And then I was serious, and I even did certain things to block him and this, and I won. And guess what? I was happy. While my son was crying. Even though my wife is like, look, I was watching, you cheated. I'm like, no, I didn't cheat. And then for days and weeks, we're talking about it, and she's like, I can't believe you. Huh? You broke the little guy's heart. What is the difference if he wins? Like, yeah, you're right. You're right. But at that moment, it was another ball game, like they say. I'm just bringing it as an example. Yeah, we don't like to lose. We don't want to lose our money. Who amongst us here work hard for his paycheck and lose it? And then he's happy and text people and tweet, hey, I just lose my paycheck. Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, mashallah. Who amongst us do that? We don't. Can you imagine you lose your car? You lose your job. The only job that you work, and they tell you, they say, look, man, we are sorry for all these years you've been with us. And you're happy. And call the people, hey, barbecue, come. What happened? What's the occasion? I lost my job, man. I lost my job. Isn't that a serious, beautiful thing, right? People are like, what are you talking about? This is us. We don't want to lose anything. We want to win. Those amongst us that have 1,000, they want to have 100,000. And those who have 100,000, you think they're going to say it's enough? No, they want to have 1,000,000. And those who have 1,000,000, they want to have 100. And those who have 100, they want to have 300. Dunya.
But we have to compete on the right side. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَسَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَسَارِعُوا أَيْنَا سورة آل عمران وَسَارِعُوا أحسنت وَسَارِعُوا إيش قلت أنا أحسنت وَسَارِعُوا جزاك الله خير الحمد لله. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we have people amongst us to correct us. As for me, one thing you should know about me, alhamdulillah, and we ask Allah to grant us this tawfiq to stand to accept the correction when it's presented to us. As I'm here, alhamdulillah, to learn with you, brothers and sisters, okay? Don't you think I'm here that I know and I practice whatever I say, and you're like, subhanAllah, this brother, mashallah. Okay, listen. If you know what Allah knows about me, I don't think you'd be sitting here. But alhamdulillah, Allah doesn't expose our sins, and Allah is merciful to us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But alhamdulillah, Allah says, and compete one another, march forth. For what? Allah didn't say for the dunya. Forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgiveness from Allah. That's it. SubhanAllah, to be forgiven, that's... You can't put no price tag on that. That's what we're supposed to be competing and helping and assisting one another. Because when you compete, a lot of times you don't compete by yourself. And if you try to do it alone, it's going to be a problem. You need help. Alhamdulillah, that's why we have each other. That's the talk and all this introduction I'm bringing is about this point right now. That we should have each other's. Because we are believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are nothing but brothers one to another. Likewise, the women, the believing women, they are nothing but sisters one to another. That brotherhood or sisterhood consists of a lot of rights that we're going to learn, inshallah ta'ala, later on. Aynam. Compete one another towards forgiveness from Allah. If Allah forgive us, ya akhwan, that's it. That's all we need. Allahu Akbar. Because you know when you die, He not taken nothing with you. I remember death is certain. Al-mawtu haqq. Death is certain. Tomorrow is not. Sharif, can they... The incense bothers me a little bit. It's my thing. Jazakallah khair. I do apologize. The incense gave me a little bit of sinuses and stuff. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu fikum. So, whatever we do, ya akhwan, we do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sari'u ila maghfirah. If Allah forgive me and forgive you, that's all we need. And we should ask Allah constantly for forgiveness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to protect us and to keep us firm upon His path. You stand in front of Allah while you are forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Because money cannot buy you forgiveness. Status in this dunya cannot buy anyone forgiveness. And remember, we're all going to die. Because death is certain, tomorrow is not. وَسَتَمُوتُ وَحْدَكِ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. You will die alone. You're not going to choose. When death comes, you'll choose, oh, listen, let me get my friends to go with me, my wife, children, my parents, this beautiful community. We all go together. No, it's not going to happen like that. You're going to go alone. And when your loved ones, family, those who care about you, you care about in this life, all these beautiful faces that you pray with and spend Jumu'ah and Eid and all those barbecues and all of those beautiful moments and the seminars, they're going to take you, probably not all of them, but some of them. And they're going to put you, Ya Abdullah, in the grave alone. Make no mistake. Nobody gonna dive with you in it. No wife, no parents, no children, no friends, nothing. and you're going to be alone with no furnitures, with no nothing of this dunya, no money, no jewelry, no clothing, nothing. And you're going to stand in front of Allah alone. Nobody to defend you, nobody to speak for you, no lawyers, no status, no bodyguards. Rather, we have actually from ourselves, our skins, our limbs, that will whether speak for or against us. So what are we doing as Muslims? We know that death is certain. The grave also can be a garden from the gardens of paradise, or a pit from the pits of the hellfire. We all know how serious that matter is. We know how serious the day of a judgment. And we know that on that day when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will be given their books of record in their right hands. May Allah make us anew from them. Ameen. While others, and these are the successfuls, and they are those who will be given their books with their left hand, which seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being amongst them. And these are the losers and those who has lost themselves. And we know that on the day of judgment, there is only two destinations, Jannah or Jahannam. There is nothing between. There is no dunya, no cities, not even a desert, nothing. There is Jannah, the place of delight, the beautiful place. May Allah make us and you from the people of Jannah. But this Jannah, Allah has prepared it for who? He was prepared for the muttaqin. Allah didn't say prepared for the rich people. Now in this dunya, yes, you pass by this nice palace. Who's that for? Oh, that's for so-and-so. Oh, they mentioned a rich person. Big farm. You're driving on a highway and this big farm, horses, mansions, trees, fruits, and landscape. Who's for? For so-and-so. Oh, they mentioned another big shot, as we say, a rich person. But in Yawm al-Qiyamah, this rich person, they're not going to buy nothing. They're not going to buy no property in Jannah. The only thing matters that will be decided on that day, and may Allah make that day easy for us. And we should ask Allah always to make that day easy for us. The matters are settled through good deeds and bad deeds. So let us keep that in mind, Ya Akhwan. Wa Ya Akhawat. Life is so short. Don't say, I'm still young. I'm only 51. I still have. Yes, I'm only 64. I'm still young. I still have some years. We don't even have. We have no guarantees for the next minute, the next moment. We don't know. Yes, you're still young. Well, use it. Look at it in another way. Use it in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be from those people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the great reward for them. فَنَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَنَشْكُرُهُ عَلَى مَا مَنَّ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَنِعْمَةِ الْهِدَايَةِ لِاتِّبَاعِ سُنَّةِ خَيْرِ الْأَنَامِ. We should be grateful and give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him as He deserves to be praised and thanked. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since we are guided amongst many of the servants who are upon shirk and upon disbelief and the like, but we are guided to al-Islam, alhamdulillah. And we are guided to follow the sunnah of the best of mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should praise Him and thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us, because tawfiq is from Allah. As the ulama, they mentioned that the guidance is a two type. Ni'matu al-dilalati wal-bayan wa ni'matu al-hidayati wa tawfiq. The guidance is two types. The first type is it deals with knowledge. When a person presents the proper way, the proper knowledge, the sound knowledge for us to follow, to be on the path of Allah, to be on the path of success. But who's going to be successful? Who's going to listen to that and apply it? That's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's for Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is not up to you to guide whom you love, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide whom He wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you don't, O Muhammad, he's the messenger of Allah, so the best of mankind. Still, it's not up to him. The hearts of the people are not in his hand. They are in the hands of Allah. It's not up to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to bring into Islam whom he loved. He had respect for his uncle, Abu Talib, and what he did for him for over 40 years. Still, he died upon shirk and upon what his people they were upon. And there are many people that came way after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like ourselves. As the ulama, they mentioned this. We never seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We didn't live with him in the same city as those who, mashallah, they observe his manners, his akhlaq, his behavior. They see it. Laysa al-mushahad kal-mu'ayyan. It's the thing you see. It's not like something you heard of. But still, now you find people come way after the Prophet ﷺ, hundreds of years. Some of them don't even speak his language. They don't even speak Arabic. Still, Allah opened their hearts to believe in him. This is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to believe in the Prophet ﷺ, to love him, to be on his path, on his way. Before you do anything, he says, what's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Is make wudu. What is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in making wudu? Making adhan. What is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to make adhan? Not like what's my tribe against your tribe. When I make the salat, we learn how to make the salat correctly, because this is, there is only one way to know we got it right according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And every matter for our affairs, in our homes, how we deal with one another, the spouses, the husband with the wife with the husband, the parents with the children, with the grandparents, with our neighbors. You have a business and you have people work for you. How you deal with them, how they deal with you. How we deal with each other in the community. As Muslims, how we deal with non-Muslims. How we treat the elders amongst us, ourselves. How we show mercy and treat and nurture, actually, the youth amongst our communities. Yes, we can all do all this in the best way, in the right way, if we learn how the Prophet ﷺ did it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we shouldn't caught up in my tribe against yours. I'm from this country, I'm from this madhab. Why, akhi, you do where you make dua after salat, because your country do it. I'm happy for you. In my country, we do it this way. We're not talking about cooking chicken in here. It's okay with me. If especially in Ramadan, in a community, especially in America, you find mixed community, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful. That is what Islam is. Islam is not a religion of one race. Islam is for everybody, for mankind. And we've seen this in Ramadan when the people, they want to bring the iftar. SubhanAllah, you look different dishes. What is it? Pakistan, biryani. Yes, sambusa, Somali food. Palestinian, Egyptian, Yemeni, Moroccan, Gambian, Senegal, soul food, this, that, Spanish food, huh? Caribbean food, Jamaican, Trinidadian. Huh? I miss anybody here? Sometimes people feel like they're offended, like you mentioned my country. I'm just giving examples. Look, as long as that food is halal, it's okay with us. We're going to follow the sunnah. It's halal, we have no problems. If I can eat it, bismillah, and eat. If it's too spicy for me, or greasy, or me personally, I looked at it and I said, this is not the food I can eat, I shouldn't say no or nothing bad about it. Just say, I can't eat this, jazakumullah khair.
But now those same community who they just have so many dishes and they're happy and, oh, that looks good. That chicken looks good. MashaAllah, those potatoes look excellent. There's goat. MashaAllah, barbecue sauce. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. We never put barbecue sauce. Well, now you learn something. And everybody is happy. Alhamdulillah, now we're going to stand up for the salat. How are we going to stand? How are we going to stand in that salat? Now it's an act of worship. Is it somebody going to stand this way, the other way stand this way? What are we going to put our hands? What are we going to do? How are we going to perform the ruku'? The positions of our feet, are they foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder? Somebody going to leave four fingers, space between one another? I don't know why. So how are we going to do it? Can we use the same example? Akhi, look, you do it your way. You remember in the food, I didn't have no problem with your food. You cooked it your way. It's okay with me. Can we say, oh yeah, you're right. Oh yeah, you pray the way you pray in your country. No, this is wrong. We pray as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. Because he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me praying. How we worship Allah? We start with the most important thing, the belief, the creed. Ta'ala, Sheikh, come here. Come in front. Jazakallah khair. Ahlan wa sahlan. Ahlan, ahlan. Tafaddal. Welcome, welcome. Inshallah. How are we going to believe in Allah? Our belief is based on what? It's based on our parents upon what we find our parents or the majority of the people or some big sheikh name because he's famous? No. Because Allah didn't send us our tribes. He didn't tell us whatever your parents are upon, do it. Whatever this big sheikh famous in your time, do it. No, he says whatever in the book and the sunnah. You want to find the example of certain people, look at the example of the Prophet Muhammad SAW and his companions, because they are the best of the people. And we as a human being, once again, in anything we want to do, we want to do the best thing, right? And we always look at those who are the best at what they do. That's why we want our children to go, some of us want the children to go to the best schools. Why? Because they credited. They're going to get that certification that everybody looking for those who graduate from that law, from that school, I mean. Okay? Engineering or medicine or what, science and fields and the like. We choose. We want to live in the best neighborhood. We want to drive the best cars. We want to eat the best food. Yes. But look at us. We are Muslims. We look at the things as the way to whatever we do in this life, whatever decision we make, every move we make, how is it going to reflect on me when I stand in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah? That's very important. Because Allah does not accept the deeds because they are a lot, huge deeds. Some people, they stand up all night praying and crying and talking and dua. But if they didn't do it according to the sunnah, they got nothing. They can make a lot of salat after Fajr. Somebody pray Fajr, jama'ah, go to sleep or go home. Somebody's going to stand there and pray 100 rakat. Why you did it? Oh, salat is good. Not at that time. Why is no good, akhi? And the Prophet didn't do it. He's the best of mankind. How can you do something that the best of mankind didn't do? If he was good, he would have done it himself. It's very important, ya akhwan, for us to make a difference between customs and religion. Naam, Islam, it's okay to have some customs related to the food, the language you speak. It's okay. You speak Urdu or Pashto or Indian or Arabic with different dialects, or you speak Bosnian, or you speak Albanian or Russian or Japanese or French or Spanish or Italian or Dutch, or you speak Somalian or Oromo or Tigrinya, Hausa, Yoruba, Fulani, Mandingo, Swahili, it doesn't matter. It's okay. But when it comes to the deen of Allah, it's only, we have to take it from its proper sources. We shouldn't make mistakes. And if we make mistakes, we should learn from our mistakes. And we have the tools to correct ourselves. This is the deen of Allah.
It is taken from its proper sources, the Quran and the Sunnah. And the application, the best application. Every gadget you buy right now from the technology come with what in the box? What it comes with it? Does it come with it a chocolate bar? What it comes with it? Instruction manual, right? Instructions. You never put that piece together. Never. So what you will do before you start putting it together? Read instructions. If the instructions say to you, screw number 7, you put it in the hole number 15, what do? You put it in the hole number 22 and say, I don't know what they're talking about. Some people are like that. His wife said, hey, says put it in number 15. They don't know what they're talking about. Then he put it, plug it, smoke it. It's gone. Now, what are you going to do? Can at that moment that husband, reckless husband, say, you're right, let's put it in number 15? No, it's not going to help. But we as a human being, we do pay attention to those instructions, don't we? We do. Why? Because we don't want to lose that insignificant. That thing that, yes, it's significant in your life, but subhanAllah, but when it comes to the Jannah and the path that leads to the Jannah, we can't just do it in our way. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to those guys over there. Sunnah, sunnah, sunnah. Come on, man. The deen of Allah is easy. Yeah, that statement is a good statement. The deen of Allah is based on ease, but not like as they want. Ease doesn't mean do whatever you want to do. Ease meaning that you try your best to do with the way of Allah, because this is the deen of Allah. But if you it's difficult for you to do it in one way, you got to know that there is an easier way. An example, you stand when you pray. But if you cannot stand one day, your knees, your ankle, your back, whatever, you can't stand. Can somebody say to you, hey, you're a Muslim, you have to stand in pain. Be man. Be man. Be tough. Stand. Hey, I can't stand. Hey, you know Salat. No Salat. I would be like, keep no Salat. No, you sit. The Prophet said, if you cannot stand, what you do? You sit. What if we come to the masjid one day and you find somebody laying down in a row, in a line? You people lining up and somebody laying down on his side. Well, what one of us will say to him? Huh? What's wrong with you? A'udhu billah, you have no shyness. We were about to pray and you're laying down? That's one of the answers, right? One of the approach that we may have. Is there another approach? Three strong brothers pick him up and put him out, right? Another approach? What is it? Huh? Tell him to sit up. That's another approach. Yeah, sit up. Okay. Is there another approach? Sit on a chair. Okay. What is it? Yeah, ask him what's wrong. If he says, look, I know. I can't even sit on a chair. I'm just applying the sunnah. Those who know the sunnah, they know. They don't even talk to the man. They will come straight and say, Akhi, subhanAllah, you okay? Akhi, mashallah, I can't even sit. The Prophet said, if you cannot sit, lay down on your side. Yes, you can do that and pray. That's the sunnah of the Prophet. The one who knows the sunnah, he's going to look at a person laying down, and especially when he said to him, look, Akhi, I'm really very sick, he's going to make dua for him. Those who don't know the sunnah, they're going to like try to look at him, be suspicious, who he think himself, this arrogant man laying down in the salat, a'udhu billah, this mubtadi, innovator. You see how ignorance leads us to a lot of things that are not right. Whereas knowledge saves us from humiliation, from wronging others, from thinking bad about others. And most important point, knowledge saves us from doing things that will put us on a path other than the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it's the time for me to stop at this moment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq, ikhlas, to grant us sincerity, ikhlas in everything we do, and adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khair, and we continue after the salat. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi. صحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.